We're going to read some verses from the first book of the Bible, from Genesis chapter 13, and I'll commence reading at the opening verse of the chapter. Genesis chapter 13, and reading from verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked, and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And we'll just end there at verse 13 of the chapter, and we'll unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wilt bless us as we study thy word together. We thank you, Lord, that thy word has such precious and vital truth for us to learn. We do not want, O God, to miss out on the teaching of Scripture. We want to learn. We want thee, Lord, to speak to us. And we pray, Lord, that we will be edified, that we will be strengthened through the word of God. We recognize that we are weak believers. Lord, we think of how the apostles were asked on one occasion, where is your faith? Lord, many times it might be said to us, where is your faith? When we face trial and difficulty, very quickly we show that our faith is weak and not strong. And Lord, we want to learn how to be strong, and we want to see the disadvantages of a weak faith. Oh, teach us thy ways, we pray, and bless us and undertake for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've really chosen three different texts, or at least some words out of three different texts. If you turn back a chapter or two to Genesis chapter 11 and verse 31, you read these words. I'll not read the whole verse. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law. And then if you move on to chapter 12 and verse 5, it says, And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son. And then the first verse of Genesis 13, And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. I'm going to speak to you about weak believers. And the person that I'm going to think about with you is this man, Lot. Lot was a weak believer. I have to say that he was a believer. If you just had the Old Testament, you would read it and you would begin to wonder, was Lot truly a child of God? Because there's so many things that are wrong about the life and testimony of Lot. You tend to think Lot couldn't have been a child of God. And suppose we didn't have the New Testament. many people, many preachers indeed, would be saying, Lot wasn't a true believer. Lot was one who tagged along and eventually he turned away and Lot is lost. But listen to what we read from the words of Simon Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2. It says that the Lord delivered, in verse 7, just Lot. Doesn't mean that he delivered Lot only, that Lot was the only one he delivered. That word just, the English word just, has two ideas behind it. One means only. I just was rescued. You mean I was the only one that was rescued. Supposing there was a shipwreck and you were the only one survived, you might say, I just was rescued, but nobody else. I was the only one. But it also has the idea of righteous, a person who is right with God. And that's what the Greek word means here. It says, God delivered just Lot. And then to confirm that, it says in verse 8, that righteous man. So Lot was a child of God. He was a believer. That's a very important thing to notice. And actually, there's a little lesson there for you and me. We can be very quick to pronounce someone unsaved and to say that person couldn't be a child of God. We don't know enough in many instances to pass judgment. There are weak believers. And I've got to say this to you, that we are all weak believers. We are weak believers. Let's not think that we're strong, because when trial comes and trouble comes, we'll very quickly discover just how weak we are. We want to be strong. Yes, we need to be strong. There's many things that come in life's pathway that confound us and confront us. And we need to be strong, as the Bible says, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When I come to the end of my message, I'll suggest to you how we may be strong. But I want to look at this subject of the weak believer. And Lot undoubtedly was a weak believer. Why did I read those three verses and choose words out of those verses as my text? Because they teach us that Lot, in a way, just tagged along. His grandfather was Terah, and Terah took the initiative. Indeed, he wrongly took the initiative from Abraham, because Abram, or Abraham as he later was called, he had been called to leave Ur of the Chaldees. And when his father heard it, he took the lead. And Terah took Abram, and then it says, and Lot, who was the son of, who was he, the son of Haran, his son's son, his grandson. So he takes his grandson with him. Lot's the one who's tagging along. Then Terah died, and Abraham became the leader, and Abram took Lot. Then when we come to chapter 13 and verse 1, it says, Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him. It seems that Lot, until later on, can't stand on his own two feet. He needs Terah to be to the fore. He needs Abram to be to the fore. He's depending on other people. He is a weak believer. And then in chapter 13, we read the verses. We find that Lot had many cattle, many animals. He was a rich man. His uncle Abram was even richer. And it says the land was not able to bear them. There wasn't room for all the animals. They needed to spread out. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot. And what did Lot do? Lot did nothing. He's sitting back. He has no courage and no initiative to step in and bring an end to the strife. After all, he's a leader of a certain pack. All his animals and all his servants are there, his herdsmen, and he should have taken an initiative. He should have seen to it but he does nothing. He's too weak. He hasn't strength of character to step in and bring an end to the conflict. And Abraham has to step in. And Abraham has to say, look, we need to separate. You go to the east, I'll go to the west, whatever it may be. You get first choice. And so Lot is showing himself to be weak. Then we find him, and I'll come to this more in a short time. We find him choosing the well-watered plain, and he sees great opportunities for his farming enterprise, and he heads towards Sodom. And then the weak man is lured into the vile city of Sodom. Bible says that the men of Sodom were sinners. They were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the weak man is being dragged deeper and deeper into the mire and going deeper and deeper into the city of Sodom. Now, I'll suggest another weakness in the fact that Lot went into Sodom and stayed in Sodom. You ladies, and there's many very fine ladies here, this is not a criticism of you, but Lot, I believe, was dominated by his wife. You say, why do you suggest such a thing? Because in 2 Peter chapter 2, it says that day by day, Lot vexed his righteous soul with the ungodly conversation of the wicked. And you would say, why? Why would you stay in such a wicked city? Why would you do it? Because his wife liked being there. She never wanted to leave. Remember how we read in Luke chapter 17, how she turned back behind him? In fact, Luke 17 says, remember Lot's wife. It's in Genesis chapter 19 we read, she looked back from behind him. Notice where she was. She was behind Lot because her feet wouldn't move. They wouldn't move swiftly enough. She was being dragged. She didn't want to go. Lot hated Sodom, but she was at home in Sodom. And so he was dominated by the desires of his wife. Oh, Sodom was a fine place for the ungodly, for the worldly-minded person. And she had daughters who could mix an elegant society in Sodom. And Lot could sit in the gate. He could be one of the elders of the city. Someone has even suggested the Lord Mayor of Sodom. I'm not sure that that's an accurate statement, but it has been suggested. He's dragged into Sodom. He doesn't like being in Sodom. It's annoying him every day. It's annoying him every night. But he's weak. He's weak. And when he's in Sodom, there's a conflict. I won't go into all the names of the kings. Four kings against five. And near Sodom, there were slime pits. How appropriate for such a slimy city. And when the enemy came against Sodom, the city was defeated in battle, and many prisoners were taken, and amongst them was Lot. Lot was taken prisoner. Here's the weak man. He's taken prisoner. He's not able to fight. He's not able to overcome. Who has to rescue him? His uncle Abraham. Abraham armed his own servants. He joined with his confederates. He had two friends that were in league with him. And 318 men went against the enemy and rescued Lot. And when Lot came back out of captivity, where did he go? The weak man went back to Sodom. How weak he was. Then the Lord said, I'm going to destroy this city. I'm going down now to see if it's altogether according to the report. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall become a great and mighty nation? I'll tell him what's going to happen. And so the Lord tells Abraham of what is going to take place, that Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be destroyed. And Abraham, hearing that information, drew near to God. And he spoke to God. He kept asking God. He said, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? If there should be 50 righteous within the city, will you destroy the place for the sake of 50? And the Lord said, I'll not destroy it for 50's sake. And then Abraham ventured a little bit further, 45. God says, I won't destroy it if there's 45 righteous. 40? No, I won't destroy it if there's 40 righteous in the city. 30? I won't destroy it if there's 30. 20? I won't destroy it if there's 20 righteous. 10? 10. Abraham thinks, surely there must be 10 righteous. Surely there must be. He's saying, what about Lot? What about his wife? And there is a hint that Lot had sons, that he had married daughters and he had unmarried daughters. So if you count that up, if he has two sons, Lot, his wife, two sons, that's four. Two married daughters and their husbands, that's another four, that's eight. Two unmarried daughters, that would be 10. And he's maybe thinking, surely they've had some influence in Sodom. There must be at least 10. And if there aren't 10, then the city cannot be preserved. It needs to be judged by God. Who's praying? Who's praying for Sodom? Is it Lot? No. He's too weak. He doesn't like it, but he's weak. And he's not praying for Sodom. But Abraham is. And in particular, Abraham was praying for Lot. There weren't 10 righteous in the city, and the judgment of God fell on the city of Sodom. And it says, God remembered Abraham, and he sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. It's Abraham, the strong believer, who's lifting Lot again and again. Abraham steps in to stop the strife. Abraham steps in to rescue Lot when he's taken a prisoner. Abraham steps in to plead for Lot when there's danger of him being swept up in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. So again and again and again, you see the weakness of Lot. And as a weak believer, and he was a believer, I've pointed that out to you, as a weak believer, he didn't have an effective testimony. Two angels came to Sodom, and Lot was there, and they told him what was going to happen. And they said, this place is going to be destroyed by God. Now, have you any of your family here? You need to go and warn them. Tell them. And he went out, having received the warning, and it says he went to his sons-in-law, and he said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this place. And we read, he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Read that in the chapter 19 of Genesis. He seemed as one that mocked. In other words, they didn't believe a word that he said. They thought perhaps he's a very weak man, always talking in a weak way. He's such a vacillating and a cowardly type of man that there's no strength of character with him. And he's very easily scared, very easily intimidated, and we're strong men. So they, in a way, they despised Lot. He didn't have an effective testimony for God. And it's as if it was all a big joke. You believe that? We don't believe it. God destroy this city with fire and brimstone or whatever other way he chooses? God's not going to destroy this city. This city's been around for many, many years. It's a well-built city. There's good, strong citizens in this city. You don't believe all that stuff about God and his vengeance and his wrath and having a fear of God and doing his will and turning from your sins. You don't believe all that. We've gone beyond that. It's outmoded. It's old hat. It's nonsense. That was the idea that Lot's sons-in-law had. They saw him as weak. Abraham saw him as weak. God saw him as weak. And I suggested to you that you and I are weak believers. Even the strongest of believers, in one sense, are weak. Remember what happened when Christ was on the boat on the Sea of Galilee. He fell asleep. There he was. He had been busy, as he ever was. He had been wholehearted because Christ gave everything. And he's resting. He's on his way to the country of the Gadarenes. He has a work to do there, to deliver the man with the legion of demons, a man who dwells among the tombs and wears no clothes and terrifies the whole community. Christ is on his way to rescue that man. And the devil, I believe, steps in. There arose a mighty storm. And the disciples at first didn't awaken Christ. They bailed out the water as fast as they could. And then it says it was full. Doesn't mean it's full right up. But what it means is any more water coming in and down the boat will start to go. You've reached the point beyond which there's no return. More water in, the boat goes down. And the disciples came to Christ and they awoke him. And they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? As if the Lord could perish. As if the Lord didn't care. They rebuke Christ. They're in a panic. They've never seen anything like this. And the Lord Jesus was perfectly calm. And he stood up in the boat. And he rebuked the wind and the sea. He said, Peace, be still. And suddenly, everything changed. And the disciples were so astonished. They said, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And Christ said to them, Why are ye so fearful? O ye of little faith. You've little faith. That's what he says in Matthew's Gospel. That's how it's recorded in Matthew's Gospel. In Mark's Gospel, it's different. There's no contradiction. But he says to them in Mark's Gospel, How is it that ye have no faith? And then in Luke's Gospel, it's recorded slightly differently. He says, Where is your faith? So you say, is that not a contradiction? Little faith, no faith, where is your faith? No, there isn't any contradiction. They had faith, but it wasn't in exercise. It was as if they had no faith. It was so small, it was almost invisible. And these are the apostles that are with Christ. They're with Christ. And he says, you have little faith. It's as if you had no faith. And where have you put your faith? One storm? And you think the Almighty, the Son of God, can be drowned? One storm, and you don't realize after the miracles I performed that I can still the storm? You think that we're going to be swept into a watery grave? If you and I had been on that boat, we would have reacted in the very same way. Because while Lot was a weak believer, and these disciples on that occasion showed themselves to be weak believers, we too are in the same category. We are weak believers. We must never get to the stage where we think that, oh, I'm strong. I'm strong in the faith. There's someone and they're a weakling. They haven't got anything like the faith that I have. My friends, we are all at heart weak believers. We may not be very weak, but we are weak believers. It doesn't take much to shake us out of our complacency. It doesn't take much to bring us down and to make us tremble and fear. That's why every day we need to commit ourselves to the Lord, and every day we need to seek His favor and blessing, and every day we need to seek the infilling of His blessed Holy Spirit. And I want to make another point here now, and this is turning it in a different direction. In spite of being a weak believer, Lot had strong corruptions. He had strong corruptions. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 13 again, and you'll see the strength of corruption that there is there. During that time when Abraham spoke to Lot and said, "Don't let there be any strife between us and between our herdmen. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If you go to the right hand, I'll go to the left," and so on. And it says, verse 10, Genesis 13, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan." You see, Lot was selfish. Lot was greedy. Lot had strong corruptions. He didn't say, "Well, my uncle is the one who should have the best land." No. He thought, "I've all these animals, and I can prosper. I can gain even more." He doesn't inquire about the spiritual state of that area. He just thinks, "I can gain. I can profit by going in that direction. I can become the richest farmer." And he looked, and it says, he lifted up his eyes and looked. He didn't pray. Didn't think of that. He didn't say, "Well, look, Uncle Abraham, you ought to have the best land, and you ought to have the choice here. You've been the leader here, and I want you to make the choice." No, he didn't think of his uncle. He thought of himself. And greed, which is a great corruption in the human heart, greed dominated, and greed drove him towards the city of Sodom. That corruption of greed was strong in his heart. And one thing you must learn is this: if you're a weak believer, you will have to contend in weak faith with strong corruption. What a tragedy that is. You can't believe it. You might find somebody, they're weak, they're affable, but in their heart there are strong corruptions. And if you're a weak believer and not going forward and not seeking to go forward, not recognizing the weakness of your faith, not longing for God to strengthen your faith, then you will be a prey. You'll be a prey to the devil. You'll be a prey to the world, and you'll be a prey to the lusts of the flesh. And you may fall into grievous sin. And the consequences, I suggest to you, when those corruptions are strong, may be dire. The consequences may be dire. Think of David. David took a rest. Instead of doing what he should have been doing, battling for his nation, leading his army against the enemy, the Bible says he sent Joab. He sent Joab. Job's a good commander. Job will be able to handle this situation. I don't need to be there. Yes, that's true, he didn't. But he should have been there because he was God's appointed leader. He was God's appointed leader of the army. And Job himself, while he was a good military commander, was an ungodly man. So Joab was the wrong man to send. David should have gone and kept Joab in check, made sure that things were done after a godly fashion. But David relaxed. And when he relaxed and his faith became weak, he saw this woman, he lusted after her, he fell into adultery, and then he contrived the death of Bathsheba's husband and told him lies and did all things that he could to destroy Uriah the Hittite. What a terrible thing. Strong corruption, and it comes to the fore when your faith is not in exercise, when it's as if you have no faith, when you're a weak believer. Strong corruption comes out. And then actually, and I don't want to go into this, in this 19th chapter, when the men of Sodom surrounded Lot's house when the angels came and wanted to abuse those men, Lot made a most indecent and immoral proposal. He offered his two virgin daughters to be abused by the men of Sodom. Does that not tell you that he was a weak man with strong corruptions? You want to keep those corruptions in check because they lead you to disaster. Then you need to be going forward, walking with God. Weak believers have strong corruptions. And if we relax and don't go forward, don't seek to walk with God, don't realize that our help is in the name of the Lord. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills in Psalm 121. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. My strength is in God, not in my assessment of my faith. I cannot relax. I must keep looking. I must keep growing. I must keep walking. I need to be going forward. If I come to a standstill, if I step backwards, then my corruptions will surface and my corruptions will poison my mind and poison my life. And then I want to make another point, and that is that weak believers are a burden to God's people. You see that in the burden that was placed upon Abraham. Abraham couldn't carry on his own life at times because he had to step in and rescue Lot. He heard of the capture of Lot and how Lot was now taken away by those kings that had fought against Sodom. And he was put to the expense of joining with his confederates, of arming his trained servants, and he was put to the hardship of conflict. He had to take up the sword. He had to fight in order to rescue Lot and recover him from captivity. And then when he heard of what was going to happen to Lot, he had again to step in, and he had to pray, and he had to bargain in a way with God. If there's 50, if there's 45, there's 40. He was put to great difficulties in the conflict, to lift Lot out of danger, great difficulties in prayer, because Lot was a burden to Abraham. Abraham cared for him. He was his nephew, and he cared for his nephew. He also was a child of God, and Abraham knew that. Perhaps it was Abraham who led Lot to faith, who led him to repentance, and who was in a way his guardian, because Lot's father had died much earlier than Abraham. And indeed, Lot's father had died before his own father. So he felt responsible for him, but he was constantly having to watch over him, constantly having to step in to rescue Lot. And that is the situation if we are weak believers. Others have to pick up the pieces. Others have to step in. Others have to pull us out of the hole. And others have to pray for us. Many people have to plead for us. They see us going astray. They go to us perhaps and they say, look, are you wise doing that? I think you're heading for disaster. And many times we don't even listen to them. They say, you shouldn't be doing that. And you say, well, why? What harm is there in it? And sometimes you find people, they'll go to a pastor and they will say, is it all right to do such and such? They have some misgivings. And what do they want? They want the pastor or the elder to support them. So that then they can say, well, the minister said it was okay. They're putting him on the spot. They want to do something that they have doubts about themselves, and they want the minister then to approve of it. They're weak, and they want others to help them so that they can do it and blame the person they've consulted. And then when they're told they shouldn't be doing certain things, they feel that that's an imposition. If they're told about modesty and dress, or they're told about other things, oh, he's out of date. He's not living in the modern age. And they're a burden. They're a burden to God's people. They're a burden to the oversight and the work of God. They're a burden to those who are godly, perhaps in the church or in their family. They're a burden to them. They're always worried about them, always concerned, indeed perhaps wondering, have they really grasped it? Is the root of the matter really in them? What a difficult thing it is for God's people when they're constantly having to lift the weak believer. And when the godliest are engaged in prayer, they break their hearts many times over weak believers, especially if those weak believers are in their own family. They pray for them, they plead for them, they ask God to draw near to them and to touch them and to deliver them. Weak believers are a burden to the godliest of God's people. And even, here's an interesting thing, even we might say they're a burden to the angelic host. I don't know if you are familiar with it, but in Genesis chapter 19, we find that when the angels came to Sodom and asked the question, have you any others here, any besides, sons, daughters-in-law, etc., sons-in-law? And after Lot had failed in speaking to his sons-in-law, the next morning, as the sun was rising, Lot was told, and his wife and the two daughters who came, said, up, get you out of this place. You need to move. Now is the time to go. It says he lingered. He lingered. And while he lingered and his wife lingered and the girls lingered, the angels laid hold of them, took them by the hand. They were a burden to the angels. Come on. Come on. What are you doing? The judgment's about to fall. They're a burden, even to the angels. The Bible speaks about the angels of the children always beholding the face of their Father in heaven. And the angels are ministering spirits, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 1, sent forth to minister to them who shall be the heirs of salvation. So there's angels. We are surrounded by unseen angels. And are we not many times a burden to the angelic host? I wonder if we could hear the report that angels make concerning us to God, would we blush? Would we be embarrassed? We're a burden to godly people when we're weak in faith and not going on and going forward with the Lord. And I just a couple more points. The next point is this. If you are a weak believer, it will prove a costly experience to you. It will be a most costly experience. I was quoting to you the fact that Lot was a believer from 2 Peter chapter 2. And let me just read to you what it says in 2 Peter chapter 2 concerning Lot and concerning the nightmare of his experience in Sodom. It says, God delivered just Lot, that's righteous Lot, vexed with a filthy conversation. And the word conversation has changed in meaning over the years. The idea is behavior. Just Lot, vexed with the filthy behavior of the wicked, for that righteous man, dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Every day was a nightmare to Lot. Every day. When he woke up in the morning, he didn't want to get up. He did not want to get up. He thought, oh no, do I have to go out? Do I have to see the vile things that are on display? Do I have to listen to those awful blasphemies and curses and that foul language and the awful immoral chat of these people? Do I have to listen to that? When he lay down at night, it was a nightmare. It's an awful thing when you can't sleep. And Lot must have had many sleepless nights. It was a nightmare. Nightmare at night. A dread getting up in the morning. He was a tormented soul. He vexed. And the second word that is used for vexed is the verbal form of what we find in Luke chapter 16. And that passage describes the rich man in hell lifting up his eyes, being in torments. You sometimes hear the expression, at least we use it or hear it back in the United Kingdom, hell on earth. Usually it's nothing like hell. But if there's one person that experiences hell on earth, and it's not real hell, but it's a taste of it, a taste of what hell is like, a taste of it in the soul. If there's one person that experiences it, it's the child of God that is weak and is not walking with God, whose corruptions have led him or her into a wrong place, led him or her away from the place that they should be in with God. And that's Lot. He vexed his righteous soul. It was like a measure of hell on earth. He had it every day. So there's no fun. There's no joy in being a weak believer. And then, of course, what disaster he experienced in his family. What disaster he experienced. His wife was lost to him. I don't believe she was a believer. She looked back from behind him and became a pillar of salt. Lost his wife. I fear she's in hell. He's in heaven, she's in hell. His daughters bore his children. And they became the founders of two enemy nations, the Ammonites and the Moabites, who were constant enemies to the people of God. So disaster flows and torment flows from being a weak believer. We do not want to be weak. And I say this, but for the mercy of God, Lot would have been ruined. He would have been ruined. In verse 6 of 2 Peter chapter 2, it says that God turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Then it says he delivered just Lot. Verse 9 says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly. God had mercy on Lot. It's not an easy road to take. It's not a pleasant road. It's the road to misery. It's the road to loss, severe loss. But God still can deliver. He can rescue his people. And he did rescue Lot. Came out a hard way. He went to Zoar. He says, little city, let me stay here. But even when he got there, he still wasn't happy. What a tormented life the poor man had. What a tormented life. Because his faith was weak. Because his corruptions were strong. Because he was selfish. Because he was greedy. Because he was dominated by others. And never took a strong stand himself. This poor man, he's delivered. The Lord knows how to deliver. But he takes you out a hard way, a tough way. I don't want you to suffer that. You don't want to come to the end of your life, do you? And wonder, when I die, when I draw my last breath, will I be with Christ? Or will I be in hell? Will I be in heaven or hell? You don't want to get to that state. You really do not want to come to the end of your life and be tormented by fears and doubts. It has happened to people. You need to be strong. Bible says, be strong. Be strong where? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Every day you and I need to seek God. The hymn writer said, high heaven that heard the solemn vow, that vow renewed shall daily hear, till in life's latest hour I bow, and bless in death a bond so dear. I want my life to be committed to God. So each day, you need to do what we sang about in the last service at the end. You need to say, I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my gracious Saviour. I surrender all. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. The Apostle Paul put it this way. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And he says, be not conformed to this world. That's what weak faith will do, make you like the world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. There it is. You surrender, you give yourself to the Lord, and you spend time in his word. Desire the sincere milk of the word, Peter says, in 1 Peter 2 and verse 1, that ye may grow thereby. Grow through the word. Grow and get into the strong meat. Don't just glance at the scriptures. Read the Bible. Meditate upon the Bible. The man who is strong is the man who has his delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Strong, stately, towering, and glorifying God, pleasing God, and looking forward to being in the presence of God one day. I urge you, we're all weak believers. We're all weak believers, but we can be stronger. We can be stronger. We can go forward. We can make progress. And we can enjoy day by day the smile of God upon us and upon our lives. Think of Lot. Don't follow him. Follow rather his uncle Abraham, but better still, follow the one who is perfect, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt apply the truth to all of our hearts. Lead us, O God, from weakness, from corruption, from vile acts. Lord, lead us from that way of shame that pulls us down. And Lord, causes great loss. Lord, great temporal loss. Even, Lord, as we think of Lot, losing out loved ones that weren't right with God. Sons-in-law, Lord, married to his daughters. And Lord, they're not in heaven today. They laughed at the poor man. They despised him, felt him a weak man. Lord, we see the weakness of his character. We see the weakness of his life. And we see the awful suffering it brought to him. Lord, may we not want to go down that road. May thy gracious and loving hand be upon us. And day by day, may we seek by thy grace to surrender fully to thee. Lord, bless this group of thy people. Pour out thy spirit upon them. Lead us forward. Lead us on. And bless, O God, every aspect of the work. Thy servant who pastors here. Lord, thy servant who labors with him in the leadership of the work. And Lord, all those who are involved. We commend them to thee. We pray, Lord, that the outreach will be fruitful in the salvation of many souls. Hear our cry. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.